If you look in Vegas, Biden won the Nevada primary with no opposition and got 89% in Nevada. He got 96% in South Carolina. This is like a North Korea or a Soviet Union style election, or even a Russian Putin election where there's nobody else on the ballot. And then everybody says, look at how beloved and powerful and wonderful our leaders are because they get 80, 90% because there's no primary. There's no debate. There are no issues being discussed. We're simply being told by the government media and the alternative media, for its own reasons, we're being told that it's a foregone conclusion. We've got these polls here, so we might as well not even bother to have the election. We're told that before any of the primaries started. We're being told that now. And so you have these dueling narratives from the two factions of the media that are aligned with the two parties, each of them creating expectations that their candidate is going to win. And then, of course, it's all going to hit the fan one way or the other because each side believes it's a foregone conclusion. Their guy is going to win. This is North Korea politics. This is not an election. It's a farce, an absolute farce. And nowhere is this more evident than with Biden and the Democrats. And so his primary challenger, Dean Phillips, said on Sunday that warning signs remain for Biden. He said he should have passed the torch to somebody else. And of course, he's trying to be deferential, diplomatic. He says, I respect Joe Biden. That's what I mean. You say something like that, it's like, oh, this guy is really being diplomatic. I respect Joe Biden. I've never respected Joe Biden. I didn't respect Joe Biden when he had a brain. I certainly don't respect him now as this empty suit puppet. He was one of the most authoritarian, anti-liberty politicians I have ever seen in my life. And I've talked about it many times. That was what was on display when he came after Clarence Thomas. He didn't come after him for the he said, she said nonsense with Anita Hill and that kind of stuff. No, he came after Clarence Thomas because Clarence Thomas supported natural rights and the Bill of Rights. And that outraged Joe Biden. He hates the idea that you and I have any rights. And of course, that has been evidenced in his administration. It's not something that is unique to him in the Democrat Party. And so Dean Phillips says, I respect Joe Biden. He should have passed the torch. This was not a mission for me, but somebody had to do this. He said, Jimmy Carter was at 58% in January of 1980. He said, and that's when he lost to Reagan. He said, Joe Biden is at 38%. I'm just saying, we're trying to wake up our party. We are the progressive party, and we should be moving forward. I see the writing on the wall, he said. So how do you remove Joe Biden without, you know, having some kind of a civil war within the party like Trump has unleashed upon the GOP? How do you do that? You know, he's got a lot of people that are invested in his administration, concerned that they're going to lose their position, a power, privilege, and profits. And so they're going to defend him. So how do you move him out of the way? Voila, we have a special prosecutor who comes to the rescue. A man ruled too senile to stand trial, but still fine to run the country, says the Babylon Bee. That's not satire. That's summary. That's a summary of what the special prosecutor said. I actually call him special counsel, Robert Herr. I wonder if he's related to Ben. What he left out of the headline was the government rules that he's a criminal who is too senile to stand trial, but still fine to run the country. Babylon Bee says, puts the words in her mouth. I mean, seriously, have you seen that guy? He said to reporters, I tried to ask him questions and he attempted to put my notepad in his mouth. The dude is totally zonked out for sure. I mean, we all knew this, right? In spite of the report detailing Biden's late-stage dementia, the special counsel confirmed that Biden is just fine to continue running the country. Oh, yeah, that's no problem, he said. You heard the press secretary. And when reporters approached the president for a statement, Biden responded by attempting to put the microphone in his mouth. Yeah. He had something else to say about it. He was very, very angry about this. And he said to them, he said, how dare you? He said, how the hell dare he? And he said, forcefully defended himself against charges that he suffered from memory loss and then immediately confused leaders of different countries. This is how ridiculous this whole thing is. Her's report said that Biden's memory was, quote, significantly limited both during his recorded interviews and with the ghostwriter in 2017 and in his interview in our office in 2023, unquote. Well, of course, nobody is saying that about Fauci. We understand that when he says more than 100 times, I can't recall. We understand that Fauci doesn't have dementia. He has delusions of power. He is a dictator who can get away with anything. And of course, he's got a book that he's about to release as well. I guess he also has a ghostwriter. These guys don't write their own books. Nobody does anymore of these people. But that's a common tactic. Well, I don't recall. But in Biden's case, actually believe it. The report said he did not remember even within several years when his son died. And that's what made Biden angry, his son, Beau. How the hell dare he raise that, he said. He thought to himself that it wasn't any of their damn business, he said. His son died in 2015 from brain cancer. I don't need anyone to remind me when he passed away. But he does. He does. He doesn't know the year. He knows his son is gone, but he doesn't know the year. That is a hallmark of all of this. Biden also said, my memory is fine, in response to reporters' questions. Later in his remarks, he mistakenly referred to Egypt's President Sisi as the President of Mexico.
As you know, initially, the President of Mexico, Sisi, did not want to open up the gate to allow humanitarian.
Yeah. He was talking about Mexico. The report also threw down on whether a jury would convict the president, you know, because he's just this kindly old man who wants to start a nuclear war, who comes after all of his political enemies, who is seeking to destroy our country in every way that he can. So we've also considered that at trial, Mr. Biden would likely present himself to a jury, as he did during our interview of him, as a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory. Based on our direct interactions with and observations of him, he is someone for whom many jurors will want to identify reasonable doubt. It'd be difficult to convince a jury that they should convict him. By then, a former president. That doesn't seem to bother these prosecutors with Trump, does it? By then, a former president well into his 80s. It would be difficult to convince a jury to convict him of a serious felony that requires a mental state of willfulness. Well, again, they had no problem giving life sentences to elderly men there at January the 6th. Their only crime was they needed to use a restroom, as elderly men are typically need to. And they asked where there's a restroom, and the cops who were standing there, the open door, said, we're right in here. And now they're looking at effectively a life sentence. They're in their 70s, late 70s. They're looking at a sentence of 5-10 years. That's what Biden has done. But, of course, he is a well-meaning elderly old man with a poor memory. Well, I don't think so. I think, he got pretty angry about the memory thing. Isn't it interesting that he didn't really care to defend himself from being called a criminal? Well, I may be a criminal, but I've got a great memory. Just ask those January the Sixers. I come after any of my enemies, and I never forget who my enemies are. That's what Biden is. So just more double standards, more blatant corruption. Trump, on the other hand, as we all know, when he goes to trial, is his biggest enemy. He does not come across as sympathetic and well-meaning. He comes across as an abusive narcissist, as he did with the E. Jean Carroll trial, where he comes in and brags about the fact that throughout history, celebrities have been able to grab women any way that they wish, at any time that they wish. Fortunately or unfortunately, yes, and I am a celebrity. Bingo, $5 million. He complains more about that and gets another $83 million added to it. Yeah, because he's entitled. He's entitled to grab women. He's entitled to grab documents. He's entitled to do anything he wants. And again, the charges against him are, in a sense, I agree with Trump and his comments about this. The charges against Biden were actually more serious, were actually more willful in terms of these document charges. Biden willfully kept classified information, but now he's just going to be an elderly man with poor memory. New York Post says Burr concluded that he willfully retained and disclosed classified materials. Biden, though, is 81. He's just a well-meaning old man who wants to start World War III, if he gets another chance at it. Biden, 81, flouted legal restrictions on keeping sensitive documents throughout his 36 years in the Senate. He did this when he was not a not-so-well-meaning elderly old man. And even after his eight-year vice presidency, he stashed them in cardboard boxes surrounded by household detritus, garbage, in other words, garbage in the garage. Investigators even uncovered a recording of Biden confiding in his ghost writer, he doesn't write his books, Mark Zwanitzer, in April of 2017, 3 months after leaving the vice presidency, that he still had official records because, quote, I didn't want to turn them in. Sounds very much like Trump, doesn't it? Who, as the New York Post points out, facing 40 criminal charges, up to 450 years in prison for resisting handing over the documents after leaving the White House in 2021. But Biden told his biographer, I don't want to turn them in. I'm not going to turn them in. So the question is this. Will the GOP ignore the crime? Will they impeach him? Again, that's not going to work out to their political benefit, as James Carville understood, and they understand what they're doing with Trump. They want to run against Trump. And quite frankly, the CIA, which controls both of them, wants a rematch.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.